Yeah, we're recording them already.
All right. Welcome, everybody. This is E3, Day 2, RFN. It's a roundtable edition here. I am your host, John Lindemann. With me is Jonathan Metz.
Hi.
Aaron Kaluska.
Hi.
Jared.
Hi.
Oh, energy people, come on now. It's E3.
Kim.
Hey.
Becky.
Hi.
And Kim's mom.
They call me.
That's right.
No, right. Your name is?
Nellie.
I said it. All right.
We just laughed over it.
Yeah. I've heard Kim's mom for many years. She's the famous one in the family.
Exactly. All right. So, yeah, so here to talk about all the games that we played on the show floor today. And actually, we had our appointment today with Nintendo. So we got a chance to sit down and actually spend an hour with them and go through several games that we could not get to on the show floor, or at least some of us spent considerable amounts of time trying to get to them on the show floor. So Johnny, we'll start with you.
Okay.
Because you play a little bit of Fire Emblem Warriors, I believe.
Yeah, we tried to play this yesterday and couldn't get through the line, so at the appointment today I got a chance, and I don't think we got the video of that. We weren't allowed, right? For video of Warrior, or no, that was the Rabbids. Yeah, so we got it. Okay, good. Well, if you see our video, it might be me playing. I'm not an expert on Dynasty Warriors and all the Musou games, but Fire Emblem Warriors is one of those. It's not radically different as you would expect, probably, but it looks nice. It ran very smoothly, I thought. Lots of fun animations, and we had Crom, Corrin, a couple other characters I didn't recognize. I think Ryoma, one of the sort of the bad guy family from Fates. I'd recognize a couple of the villains. You can probably play as them later if Hyrule Warriors is any indication. And it was fun. You know, it was a lot of smashing crowds of hundreds of no-name, you know, generic-looking enemies. Running from zone to zone, fort to fort, you know, lots of missions and side objectives and things like that. People yelling for help and then being told you failed because you didn't even know that mission had started, and something had happened on the other side of the map, and you're like, okay, I can't go over there. I would say, you know, I wasn't running around finding new abilities like you did occasionally in Hyrule Warriors, so I don't know if there's going to be any of that. Mike, you could probably get a chair outside if you want. TYP just joined us.
Yes. Hi, everyone.
Fire Emblem Warriors, there's like a super mode you can go into called Awakening. You push the shoulder button once your bar fills up, you do enough damage, you know, and that makes all your attacks more powerful, and then you can push a button and do like a super, it played exactly like Hyrule Warriors. They said that it's going to have the weapons triangle and stuff, but that's not in the game. It's not in the demo here at E3. And the game is coming out late 2017. I know some people asked when I tweeted about this, they're not talking about multiplayer. But I would say it is highly likely. In fact, the person in our PR person or handler said, well, you know, you can break those Joy-Cons off the Switch, so it sure would be nice if you could play two-player on that system. And I said, yeah, that would probably be a good idea.
Yeah, she was very coy about it.
Oh, yeah. But you could probably count on that. They're just not ready to show that yet. And, and I guess so that would be split screen or maybe, you know, shared camera. I'm not sure. It is a Switch exclusive, so look forward to it.
Yeah, it looked really good.
Probably your November game.
Yeah, I mean, it's a nice-looking game.
It is, yeah. The graphics are really nice.
Is Warriors on 3DS as well?
Hyrule Warriors, I think, has
Hyrule.
A version.
Hyrule is on 3DS, but Fire Emblem Warriors is a Switch exclusive. I confirmed that today.
Cool. Got anything else? We played a few other things that, you know...
I did. Yeah, I mean, I played this and that. Played Risky Boots in Shantae Half Genie Hero. Mm-hmm. Did some of that. It has the straight-up grappling hook from Contra 4, which, going back a long time ago to Way Forward development industry. I met the head of Mercury Steam, the studio that's making the Metroid 2 remake for 3DS, which is not...
That was actually interesting.
For us to play.
Yeah, because we went over to the Xbox booth, and you had talked to Dan Bloodworth, who had recently gone to Spain, and we assumed that he had gone to Spain to play Metroid, on Mercury Steam, right. but it was actually their game. It's called Raiders of the
Broken
the...
Planet.
Yes.
It's a pretty neat game. It's not coming to any Nintendo platform, and I wouldn't expect it to, honestly, from the look of it.
Yeah, but the Xbox, that place was jam-packed.
Oh, that was a mess.
It was a complete mess. I mean, there were queues for queues for queues at that place, but that game didn't have... I mean, we walked over and we said, hey, I think we were trying to queue for something else, right?
I just saw it and I was like, oh, hey, I know what that is. Yeah. And I just walked up and started playing it.
Yeah, it was open. It was like the only two spots that were open, probably in the entire booth.
Yeah.
And so we walked and at the particular one that he went to, it had...
happened to have the head of the studio.
Yep, and I was just like, standing there like, hey, how's it going?
Yes. And nice to meet you. I hear you're making my Metroid.
Yep.
It's like, oh, yes, well...
Yeah, he was extremely pleased to talk to you.
Yeah.
And you talked to him at length. I mean, you were there for a good 15-20 minutes.
He gave me the entire demo.
Yeah.
Yes, it was pretty cool. Yeah. Fun game.
Yeah.
That was a cool game. But yeah, I won't talk about that.
Yeah, no, the Xbox booth was probably one of the worst booths of the show. I walked in there.
I would agree.
And it's like the spacing was so cramped that like there were just people like holding up signs like, temporary full line.
Yes.
And you're just like basically keep on walking. Oh, I'm out of the booth.
Yeah, all of the queues.
Okay.
All the
I guess you don't want to play your games. Bye, Microsoft.
Yeah, I never saw anything open up ever. So, and then they were actually doing the same thing at Sony's booth as well. But it probably wasn't as bad. At least at Sony's booth, you could make the appointments. That was pretty cool.
I hated that appointment system, though, because if you didn't have great reception at the moment, or actually they also double-booked a bunch of stuff, too.
Ooh. Oh, really?
Yeah, which is the same problem they had last year. Mm-hmm. And they don't have a solution for it. They're just like, oh, well, given this other temporary line
flip
we
the
made,
coin,
and,
or?
Yeah. and if you get in, you get
fight
in.
Each other.
Yeah.
Fight each other.
Let me introduce you to Atomic Operations.
Did they get United to do their scheduling?
Oh, God. Yeah. Yeah, it was kind of a mess, but so you got, so did you get any information off him, or did they shoot down the
Metroid? Oh, I didn't even try talking to him about Metroid.
Right.
Yeah, I
all
know
right.
better
because I know you have your wiles,
no.
your Johnny Metz wiles.
He's,
but you can
he's probably got like Nintendo poison pills like implanted in his teeth, and if he says something he's not supposed to, it explodes and kills him on the spot. I don't want to make him uncomfortable, but I just thanked him. I said, thank you for making Metroid. I'm glad you convinced them to let you do it.
Yeah, I remember him saying, it's going to be good. It's going
to
be good.
Yeah, I almost
he was very
the idea for that. I mean, in fact, we were talking to... I mean, I guess there was a news story a couple years ago that Mercury Steam had like made a Metroid demo and tried to pitch it to Nintendo, and then it just kind of evaporated the news of it. And obviously Nintendo clamped it down. But yeah, I guess they convinced Nintendo to let them make that game after they did the Castlevania Lords of Shadow on 3DS.
Yeah. And it looks really good.
Metroid looks way better than that Castlevania game did.
Yeah.
For sure. I don't think I ever played the final version of that, but I played it at E3 and I didn't think it was, that great.
Yeah.
Metroid, I haven't gotten to go hands-on with it, but it does look really nice.
Yep.
Really fast and smooth.
Yeah, well, at least you were able to talk to the guy at Mercury Steam. So
that was cool.
Yeah. All right, Aaron.
I don't know. I played a bunch of random games. I guess we had our appointment at the Exceed booth today. So aside from Shantae, we also played Fate Stella, which is another Musou type game.
you say that with a grin.
I mean, it's if you know what those games are, it's the same thing: mash buttons. Do insane crazy combos, actually even more extreme than the Musou games, really. Given its source material, the Fate series is just a lot of over-the-top anime battle types of things. And this is actually a port of the PS4 and Vita title, but they've added all of the DLC to it. And I think they had to replace a few costumes due to exclusives, but it's basically that game on Switch. It's also a sequel to the PSP game. And I guess the storyline is kind of convoluted, but basically I guess at the end of the PSP game, there's this big cycle of battles that's been going on, and whoever wins what's called the Holy Grail War gets to make a wish. And at the end of that one, I guess the wish was effectively to like end the war and like take over. And But I guess what's different from the traditional Fate series is that this was all happening in cyberspace because I guess humans have destroyed the world and so then they all moved to cyberspace. I have no idea.
Yeah, yeah. Just roll with it.
Aaron,
yeah.
I think I may have played the demo for the PS4 game last year and I found it really disorienting. Like, you have to keep maintain different areas and the enemies can take it over. Did you find it to be, like, manageable, or is it sort of game that you have to be pretty familiar with the style of game to approach?
I think it was in some ways similar to what Johnny was saying, where you do have to keep track of the different areas and what your sort of teammates and things are doing, as well as what's happening in your own quadrant.
It's a pretty light strategy.
Yeah.
You know, it's like basically try to have more global awareness while you're looking at all the insanity chaos in front of you, you know, from spamming attacks.
Yeah. So yeah, this one, I guess, yeah, you start off as the kind of ruler, but then the other sort of combatants decide they don't like that, and then they all band against you and stuff, so you have to fight them again anyway. Which is my understanding, basic understanding of what the story was. But yeah, it just if you like those games, it's another one. There's a lot of character customization and a lot of story exposition.
Did you happen to get in on the autograph signing for the Senran Kagura director?
That's tomorrow, I think.
Is it tomorrow? Yeah. Oh, good. Thanks. I didn't miss it.
Did Jack send anything for us to get signed?
Yeah, he wanted to get signed. You know, Johnny was...
I was like, nah.
Johnny was a little bit stern with him.
Nah.
Yeah.
I think no Senran Kagura stuff for Nintendo stuff this year, as far as I saw.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
Was not paying too much attention to that.
Yeah, that booth is really heavily anime.
Yep.
It's like a whole lot of anime in your face.
Always is.
Yep.
All right. Jared?
I played LEGO Worlds on Switch, which I guess, so if you're not familiar with LEGO Worlds, I think it came out in February or March. Definitely LEGO's answer to Minecraft.
Was it on the floor in the booth?
Yeah, they do.
Was it?
They
okay.
have a single
system. I was trying to
system,
find it. Yeah.
Single Switch system with the game running. It's similar to Minecraft, so you can build things, and in this case, build them with Legos. But there's also, like, missions you can do, and the demo on the show floor was just a couple different missions. To build things, they give you, like, this gun, which lets you it lets you copy things, so you can, if you come across something, you can copy it and then make a bunch of copies. And the different non-player characters would be like, oh, please, I need more chickens or sheep, and like, you would find one, copy it, make a whole bunch of them.
But can you manually build things with Legos?
Yes, you can.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I was worried for a sec when you said you copy things.
Yeah, I think once you copy it, then you have it in your arsenal, but you already have some things you can build with. So, yeah.
Have you played that sort of indie game, I can't remember the name of it, where your main weapon is a copy gun?
No, okay, but that sounds similar.
Yeah, I played it at Mix at GDC, and it was, some of that sounded similar to me. That one's more of an FPS, but then, yeah, your weaponry, you can basically just copy objects and shoot them out of things.
Gotcha. I guess the only thing of note to add is that the frame rate was definitely quite poor at this point.
Okay.
Definitely sub-30, but... You know, it's still, I think it comes out in like September, fall, or I think they just said fall. So
okay, we might tighten it up by then.
Yeah.
I mean, do you know if that frame rate was poor comparative to other platforms? Or?
Yeah, it definitely, I played the PS4 version in like April, and it's definitely not a lot worse than that one.
Yeah.
Huh. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah, hopefully they tighten it up. QIP, what you got? Anything?
He saw the Super Soul Brothers.
I certainly did.
I was over there too.
I saw the Super Soul Brothers. That wasn't what I was planning on talking about, but yeah, they play a lot of good, old school music. They're really good.
It's like video game.
It basically
music
is
arranged like
big band. Yeah. It's a big band. They also had someone, I think, guesting with them that did kind of rap over some songs. That was good too. So they're good. I'm sure you can buy their stuff online. I just bought their compilation. $50.
Did you buy the Super Nintendo cartridge?
I did.
Oh man!
But unfortunately, got to ship it. So
okay,
I can't show it to you guys.
Now what is that?
It's a USB drive. It's in the shape of a Super Nintendo cartridge.
Oh, that's cool.
And it's all, I guess, five
albums.
Yeah. Cool. I think their albums are kind of small, but you know, what I heard was really good. Like, you know, even if only like a third of the songs on this stuff, it's songs that I want to
support. They were very good.
They're really good.
Do you notice they don't have a bass player?
I didn't notice that.
I think the keyboardist must be laying down the bass line, but for a soul band, that's very weird.
So anyone talk about Sonic Mania yet? Or?
No, did you actually get to play it?
Yeah
I did.
Johnny and I have been on a vision quest to try to play that game forever, but it's just lined up.
It was the longest line, but it actually went pretty quickly because they had two stations, and you just play one stage, which is a couple minutes. So it's not like a Super Mario Odyssey where it's 10 minutes plus whatever rigmarole of sitting down, putting on the straps, whatever. Mm-hmm. It plays like a Sonic and Knuckles. Sonic 3 and Knuckles. I played as Tails. He was floaty and whatever you expect. If you're a fan of those games, you're going to be a fan of this game. If you don't like classic Sonic, this isn't going to convert you. It's not for you.
So they're not trying to, like, change anything really about the old formula?
Not really. I mean they probably clean up a little bit, but the level design felt very much like, you know, they took bits and pieces of different stages and kind of cobbled them together.
What level did you do?
I played the sand one, which kind of felt like a mixture between Sandopolis from Sonic and Knuckles and like a casino. Say like pinball flippers in there, but otherwise it was kind of an Egyptian-ish type theme thing. It was cool. It felt good. You know, the character played well. I didn't get to play as the other ones, but my impression is, I think you said that like the Knuckles is more the Sonic 2 Knuckles. I do want to play as him.
Is Knuckles in Sonic 2?
If you attached it to Sonic and Knuckles. Well, I mean, he can't jump as much, is basically what they mean.
Okay.
So it was fun. There's really not a whole lot to say. Like, they clearly care a lot about it. There's a lot of attention to detail, lots of references to other Sonic games. I'm looking forward to it because I like Sonic 3 and Knuckles. That seems to be kind of where they're going. At first, it seemed like they were caring more about Sonic CD, but they're kind of, you know, even the guys there was kind of saying, you know, we're kind of moving more towards Sonic 3 and Knuckles. I think they pulled out the peel out move that Sonic CD had when you pushed up and beat. They just have the spin dash now. I don't know. Feels good, but it's Sonic 3.
Yeah.
That's what it is. Yeah. It's more Sonic 3 stages.
The floor guide guy was always talking to people about the drop dash move where you can jump up in the air and then just come down and
start dashing.
Yeah,
I didn't play as Sonic, so I guess that's something newer than what they had Sonic 3.
Yeah, he was pointing at us like, have you heard about the drop dash move? And I was like, no.
I played as Tails. As far as I could tell, Tails played just like if you picked up Sonic 3. So,
yeah.
And I like
Hover Will. Yay.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
Good stuff.
Anything else?
Played the Rabbids game this morning.
Oh yeah,
That's right. Yep.
It's I thought it was pretty good. I mean, obviously the tutorial stages was pretty simple. So even though I didn't really do much strategizing, I was still able to win. But I like the presentation. It's bright. It's clean. There's not a whole lot of clutter on the interface. We'll see if the humor holds up. I think that it might, but I'm not, like, some people really hate the Rabbids. I'm like, yeah, whatever, they're okay, as long as they use them well. So I'm hoping they're going to, when we saw, like, the DK or something in the trailers, so I'm hoping they're going to, you know, really play with, like, you know, trolling the Mario Kingdom denizens and you know, just go, you know, I want to see, like, Waluigi teaming up with the Rabbids to do Mayhem.
Yes.
But the secret leader
of the Rabbids, Waluigi.
You got three characters in your party, at least in the demo. You can attack and move, or move and then attack. You can move in any order. You got to pay attention to warp pipes and stuff, or, you know, the enemy can come and sneak behind you and stuff. So, it seems like they got a lot of mechanics even in the beginning of the game. So, I'm not an expert on turn-based strategy RPGs, but certainly a breath of fresh air compared to, you know, anime-based stuff that we're seeing a lot of in the turn-based space. So.
Now, have they talked about online for that?
I don't know.
Yeah.
That would be an interesting game to do that with.
Yeah.
Mario Cross Rabbids, or whatever they're calling it.
Plus, I think is the plus.
Very popular game at E3. I mean, over at Ubisoft's booth, it's about a 2-hour wait to play that game, and they have a lot of copies of it.
Yeah, we thought it would be a slam dunk to play over at Ubisoft's booth, and then it's just jam packed. Just a huge line. So, I mean, not that that's any surprise to anybody about anything, but I was kind of surprised. I thought that over at Ubisoft's booth, they're. You know, people would be playing other stuff other than that.
Yeah, especially because there's probably more stations of it at Ubisoft than there are at Nintendo.
Yeah, there absolutely are.
But yeah, it's a totally huge line over there. Yep. So.
Huge lines for everything, though. So.
Yeah.
Sure. Almost everything.
Okay, cool. Yep.
Speaking of huge lines, that's why I haven't played a lot. I've been mostly following everyone else around and doing video. Mm-hmm. But
thank you.
I was at the Natsumi booth earlier today, and I demoed, River City Knights of Justice. They make you start at the beginning, though, so I just had to go through the story for most of it, which kind of just killed it, but it's, you know, it's just kind of a button smasher. You just run up and hit people with stuff. If they hit you too much, you lose your weapon, which sucks, because my, like, sword dropped, like, 50 million times. But you can grab all of this stuff. You can grab their weapon, you can grab a rock and chuck it at them, whatever. Mm-hmm. Or just punch them and mm-hmm. kick them.
Yep.
But that's, like, as much as I got of the actual gameplay for it. Me and Johnny played on a giant wooden gamepad.
That's right.
That was cool. Explain that.
What was the name of that game?
I don't know. It was an Irem, a Game Boy game where you control a car that jumps and you bounce on top of other cars.
Yeah.
And yeah, I didn't reach the name, but I
had never seen that
game.
Like
Mario Odyssey. Yeah.
It was over in Indiecade. And that was kind of fun because we had to do two players, and then I had to do the movement, and he had to do jumping, and we had to coordinate because you can kind of move while you're still in the air, so you had to kind of aim for the cars below you.
We did poorly. But the reason, so we were both playing the, you know, we're basically splitting the controls. So you were on the D-pad.
Yeah.
And I was on the buttons. Because the controller was so large, it would be hard to do it all yourself.
Okay, so explain this wooden controller.
It's like a coffee table giant.
Is this an old game, or they're just showing off new hardware?
No, it's an old game. It's a Game Boy game.
Real Game Boy game. Okay.
It is a real Game Boy
game. It's really similar to, like, you know, basic Mario, where you're just running, jumping on your enemies.
Okay. You're hopping and bopping.
So is the boot? Is it for? Are they trying to sell this controller?
Or? Yeah, it's $500.
It's like a giant table. Yes. They are, like,
that is so bizarre.
It's really fun because you just sit it, and I had, like, both my hands on this giant D-pad.
Yeah, it looks
like a toddler with, like, a giant toy. Like hitting the table.
It really is, yeah. It looks like an NES controller, but it's a big wooden coffee table.
Mm-hmm.
And you can lift up the D-pad and the buttons.
And it looks
up.
Like arcade kind of buttons, with little white buttons underneath.
Yeah.
I'm fascinated by this.
You just kind of mash
it. I need to see this.
We got a video.
I need to see it.
There's
right.
a video of it.
Yep. Right.
Yep.
Okay, you've sold me on Indiecade a little bit. All right, that's cool.
Yeah.
And then, I'm down.
Becky, was it you and I who were playing Iron Commando?
Iron Commando. That one was, you know, we kind of went into it thinking it was going to be, you know, pretty hard, and then it proved to be very hard.
Yeah, so I guess a little background. That's a SNES game that is releasing this month.
Well, it was out in Japan in the 90s.
Right.
Yeah. Now they're re-releasing it, I guess. Yeah. So this is our first time playing it. But
and the whole time they were playing, everyone's like, nobody gets past level one.
Yeah, it's basically, you know, just
you
your standard...
hate this game.
Your standard beat-em-up game. You know, we kept trying to figure out the moves just one by one slowly. We're like, oh my god, you can pick up their stuff. Like, things are falling on the ground. That was, wait, who did that grenade thing? What was that? We just blew up a bunch of people all at the same time. Can we figure out how to do that again? We got pretty far. I mean, we got past the first stage of... I don't know if it was a boss or what. We had to beat up a car.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That was great, just figuring out that you had to beat up the car.
Yeah.
Because there's enemies around you, but the actual health bar is the car.
Trying to knife you and trying to shoot you. But the car is the main objective.
And the car just sits there?
Yeah. Yes. It's right in the foreground, so you just see, like, the hood of the car. So it's not really apparent that's your goal.
It's not at all.
No. We actually had to have somebody who had played before us tell us, oh, you had to beat up the car. We're like, what?
After they got through, like, two waves of
car?
Enemies.
We're like, what's it going to do? Ram me over?
So, and we don't know how this car ties into the whole Iron Commando story.
Just kill everybody.
All I know about the story is you are racing to intercept a meteor that has landed on Earth.
Yes.
Because reasons.
Yeah. Sounds legit.
I need some kind of motivation.
My character is Chang Li, of no relation to Chun Li.
Yes. And mine was named Jack.
And just overall, I mean, it was pretty fun and just standard. And then we got to the second stage, and dogs just started to wreck everything. We couldn't figure out really how to hit them because you couldn't really crouch or, like, just fight low and then just jump out from the side of the screen and just grab onto your face.
You've been looking for something exciting.
Yeah.
I even tried to shoot one with a gun, and it just walked away. I was like, really?
I thought Iron Commando plays a lot like Final Fight or something like that.
Yeah.
It's pretty basic, standard. They said it was Released in 95?
Yeah. Reminded me a lot of just playing like Ninja Turtles arcade games.
Yeah.
Just, you know, enemies popping in from either side of the screen.
That seems fairly late for a fighting game like that.
I was going to say, by 95, I bet this game seemed pretty dated, and that's probably part of the reason it didn't come to the West in the first place.
Like,
probably.
What were the two characters like? Was it like kind of like that Hagar sort of huge, big, bulky guy and a small sort
like
of guy?
Giant, or? Fighter kind of Mine was guy. Giant yeah. with a long coat that was completely open in the front. And I was like, yeah, show off you're safe. From those knives.
Yeah, yeah.
They were funny looking, but they didn't seem to play any differently.
No, I don't think there was any special moves that either of us had that was different.
I was trying to find them, but yeah.
No. There was nothing really unique.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Well, other than IndieCade, we looked at a lot of accessories for the Switch to see like what's new coming. And a lot of stuff's, you know, just different types of cases or different configurations of storage things or protection. There was a couple interesting things at what was the first place we went?
Bionic.
Yeah. They had it was like a whole charging system with like the tiniest little connector. It's like an inch long to connect it just to the screen. And you can just bundle that together. And they even had a double like stand thing so you could put the charge like the charger platform disc thing there with your screen in front.
Mm-hmm.
And then just have your Joy-Con separate. So it's really not recommended to have light with a Joy-Con receiver. It's a giant bulk on you. They had a pretty compact charger for four Joy-Cons. It was like in a diamond configuration.
Mm-hmm.
And they had the internet connectivity, which you heard more of his detailing. I was videoing it at that moment.
Yeah, basically just like a USB to the LAN cord, basically. So you can actually plug up your Switch to a wired connection.
Which, as we get to the whole Nintendo Network future.
Yes.
I'm playing competitive on, like, Splatoon 2. I think wired connections are going to be particularly important, so...
It was a USB-C to LAN?
I think so, yeah.
So you just plug into the bottom?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, that's awesome.
Yeah. So yeah. we didn't really get to touch that one. We got to touch everything else, but they kept that one in the case.
That's an interesting point, Jared, because I saw one at Hori, an Ethernet adapter, but it was a standard USB...
I guess that they already sell those, that having a USB-C to LAN would be...
Right.
I have an old USB to Ethernet one. I have to wonder if that would not be that...
It might be the same thing, but you would only be able to use it with a dock is the point, because the dock has standard USB in the back for an accessory, and so you'd have to plug it in there, but if it's USB-C, you could actually take it with you without, if you were traveling, for instance, without the dock, you could take this thing with you and plug, you still have to be plugged into a wall somewhere, but...
If you really want to go for it.
Some people might find that useful.
Yeah.
And then we were at Big Ben also, and that had like more like fun accessories where you can put the screen of the Switch into a thing that is just two speakers on the side, so it looks exactly like it would be if you had the Joy-Cons. Just switch that out with speakers.
That's neat.
And then they had a hard protective case. It was nothing special except for on the back it had some bumps on it and made it more ergonomic so you can hold it better.
Mm-hmm.
It actually was really comfortable. I don't really think they had anything else that was too novel. Oh, wait, no, they had the rubber silicone thing for the Joy-Cons, which switch it so you put it in sideways, and then it switches your Joy-Con into, like, a regular controller, but it's all silicone.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
We weren't really sure, like, because obviously we didn't get to hold it, but we weren't really sure if...
Yeah, that one was tethered to the wall.
Yeah. They zip-tied that. But it just, like, it didn't look super, you know, intuitive, just because... The grips were on the side, but then you had to kind of move your fingers in for the buttons on the Joy-Con.
Literally just slip it in a little sleeve in the top.
Yeah, so it was like instead of being able to actually grip the Joy-Con and really have those buttons in front of your thumbs, it was kind of like you almost had to angle your fingers in.
Yeah.
So we kind of wish we had been able to actually like take it and hold it just to sort of see how that would work, but...
It was really great when there was a moment of an employee there who just was like, hang on, I need to grab something. And he grabs it and he's like, oh, what? It's not moving.
We're like, really? Yeah, you're on.
Pulls it out of the wall. Oops.
Well, they didn't even realize how thorough they had zip-tied their stuff. And then tomorrow we're seeing Nyko's accessories. So.
Yeah, I was surprised. There's a lot of stuff out there for Switch.
Yeah.
A lot more than I thought there
would be. Nyko has a ball pit.
I know.
So
that should make for fun videos.
We have an appointment, so we might get to play in the ball pit.
Yeah, you could live stream from inside the ball pit. From underneath the ball. Like, you could go under.
That's probably
going to
be our most popular live stream.
Just grab our Mario hats. And just
come to the ball pit.
Yeah. Make sure you have your vaccines.
Yeah, for sure.
What happens in the ball pit?
Yeah, because there was a bunch of stuff at the RDS booth too.
Yeah.
Like, all around. Prominently displayed, I might add.
Pretty standard, like, cases and stuff, that most of it was the stuff you saw on launch day.
Yeah, all the stuff, I'm like, I've seen this a million times, just walking through Target or something.
Yeah. But it's Splatoon cases.
The design.
And there's no ball pit here. Get out of here. Get out of my face, RDS.
But like,
why'd you even come to E3?
RDS, though, they have a history of doing this. They like put the big like Nintendo sign and sit their booth right next to Nintendo. They've done it every year I've ever seen.
Yeah,
them,
so. The Switch. Like, all over that booth.
And they have the worst accessories, so like, I don't know.
No, it's so weird. Because just for my regular job, I go to a bunch of conventions. I was at CES today, and I was at National Hardware Store, and they were at all of those with Switch accessories.
Are you serious? Oh my god.
No,
I was going to say that as a joke. Were they peddling Switch accessories there, too?
I walked by, I was like doing a video, I'm like, yeah, here's a power drill and here's some Switch accessories.
I guess it's just what they do, travel the country trying to hawk Switch accessories.
In the exact same configuration of the booth, they just pop it up everywhere. So I've seen it around this year.
Wow, that's incredible.
That's kind of my 2 days.
Well, I spent some time with both Atlas and Natsume today. I played Natsume's new Harvest Moon game that they're aiming to put out by the end of the year, they said. They didn't know exactly a release date, but they were like, we're hoping by the end of the year. We're like, okay.
Yeah.
What's that coming out on?
Switch, actually. It's actually going to be a mainline console game.
Nice.
And what's that called? What's the
subtitle? Light of Hope. Yeah, is what it's called.
Blank of Blank.
Yeah, basically.
Because you have,
you have to fix the lighthouse on the island.
Next year will be Hope of Light.
Yeah.
And it's very much structured like, you know, old style Harvest Moon games, in that you, you know, get in some wacky situation that maroons you on this island. It's basically kind of decrepit, falling apart, and it's your responsibility while you're raising your own farm to fix it up for everybody and help, like, bring back the populace to this poor island.
I like that you're just like, oh, I'm marooned. I guess I'll stay here forever.
Yeah, I was just like, there was like...
Lighthouse.
Yeah, they were like, you're out on a...
Yep.
They were telling us, you're out on a boat, and then you run into a monsoon, and I'm like, why would I stay on this island?
Well, okay. Friends and family at home, that's it. I have a new life.
Bye, guys. But yeah, so apparently that's my way of getting away from the big city, is just to stay marooned on an island.
Lighthouse keeper.
Yep. Sounds good.
It's your destiny.
So yeah, obviously you're just fixing up the town, fixing it up for everybody. And traditional setup, you know, you get married if you want, all those kinds of things. Makes friends with people and they'll give you stuff. And they're really trying to work hard and push that intuitive tool system they've been working on for the past couple of entries since the split from Marvelous. And it works okay. Like, it's fine in terms of the fact that, like, it switches your tools as you need. But occasionally, sometimes, like, if you press the button one too many times, it'll switch your tool immediately.
Mm-hmm.
Like, one time I would just, if I harvested a plant, it would just put it directly into my satchel. But then if I pressed the button one too many times, I'd start hoeing the ground. And it was like, well, that's a waste of stamina. And it's really quick to just fall into that, you know, just pull out a weed and you press it one too many times and you start wasting your stamina. So that could use a little bit of work as far as just maybe a bit of a delay that you don't usually have when you're switching your tools manually.
Yeah.
And it's like, okay, they're very much trying to make it easier and more accessible to everybody, but I'm kind of like, all right, sure, tool system wasn't that hard to begin with, but okay. And just overall, they're going for the more classic feel. The animations were a little bit on the slower side. It wasn't as smooth as it's always been with Marvelous at the helm. But overall, it didn't play like a bad game. It was just, you know, very much the traditional formula and same setup. It wasn't bad. I'd like to see where it goes. But, you know, just kind of like in the kind of competition between the two franchises, it's still trying to wait and see whether they'll catch up to what Story of Seasons was doing and whatnot.
And they did utilize the touchscreen, which I think is really smart, since it's on the Switch.
Yeah, they actually, the only functionality difference they were really talking about, because they actually are releasing it, I believe, also on Xbox and PS4, is that you can use the touchscreen on the Switch, where you obviously, they don't have that functionality for the other systems, even if you have a touchpad on PlayStation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's basically just, you can do little things, like you can actually move around strictly with just the touchscreen.
Mm-hmm.
They have a functionality where if you choose to water multiple plants at the same time, you can basically touch and drag it, and drag in any path on how you want to water everything.
Oh, that's cool.
That could be useful.
So it's pretty fun, and for the most part, it seems to work pretty well. Like, I actually, the touchscreen controls were smoother than I thought they would be, just because some of the other functionality wasn't quite as polished. But overall, it was really fun to play, and I mean, they're saying that they want to keep everything sort of parallel across the different consoles, but I think that's going to be a really interesting advantage that the Switch has over the other consoles.
Yeah.
It's just that ease of use on the touchscreen. And the other one I played was Etrian Odyssey 5.
I played that a little bit yesterday.
Yeah, I demoed it today, and they kind of just threw me straight in the middle of a dungeon. They talked about the character customization a lot, that they've sort of just expanded it with your new characters and your new classes. Like, apparently racial abilities are becoming, you know, part of the way you customize your character, not just class. And obviously they just expanded, like, there's 40 voices you can choose from now. You can change the color of your hair, eyes, all of that separately. So I'm like, okay, it would have been nice if I could create a character, but okay. Other than that, the dungeon grinder is pretty much standard Etrian Odyssey. It's just go and explore.
Yeah, they told you that they were trying to go back to the old style of Etrian Odyssey,
right? Yeah, it was very much like one.
Yes.
Yeah, hardcore.
That's what I was told as well, and I was asking, so I am not an Etrian Odyssey fan or expert, really, but I played the demo for 4 on 3DS, and I really liked the part where you're controlling that airship, and there's kind of an overworld, you know, and you can kind of go do side quests and things like that other than the main dungeon, which is sort of central to all of those games, I think.
Yeah.
So I was asking about that. He said, oh, yeah, there's nothing like that. There's just, you know, there's a town, and the whole game takes place in this tree that you're exploring. And even though you're in a tree, there's still, like, desert and ice areas and stuff like that. I was like,
just don't worry about it.
Okay. Sure.
Why not? It's an Odyssey, man. What do you want?
It's probably a world tree, so there's a whole world inside of it, I guess. But, yeah, it looks and plays exactly like the dungeon part of Etrian Odyssey that I knew from 4.
Yeah.
Pretty standard.
Yeah. There didn't seem to be anything super new as far as the actual dungeon crawler was concerned. It was just the expansion of the character customization, from what I could tell.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was fun, but if you have fun with Etrian Odyssey, it's fun.
Yeah.
If you don't, then don't play it.
Okay. Anything else?
I mean, those were the big two. I feel like I played a couple other things over the course of the couple days. Nothing much else today because the lines were so long.
Yeah, the lines were
demoing
horrible.
Nintendo stuff, and I spent time this morning in Square Enix, and that's nothing Nintendo, so I don't know if I should talk about that.
Yeah, also a line fest as well.
Oh yeah, I managed to rush in pretty early and get in line to demo the new expansion for Final Fantasy XIV, because I play that on regular, so.
I had that thought, and then I went over, and the line was probably about 200 or 300 people.
Yeah, I got in there pretty quick, so I managed to, but it still took me, because the demo is about 25 minutes.
It's a raid, right?
Yeah, it's a raid box.
Yeah, so, how many people? 12?
It's 8.
8 people, right? Yeah.
So,
that makes it hard to get actually people in and out of there quickly.
Especially because, like, if you get a group that actually manages to complete the boss, you know, first, second go, then, yeah, they can get in and out fairly quickly. But then everybody gets 4 or 5 wipes to try and actually achieve it.
Yeah, that's a traffic jam for sure. Because I did actually see one group beat the boss, and they were like, yay!
Yeah.
They get
like,
t-shirts.
Everybody was very...
Yeah, they do. Unfortunately, mine did not. But we had half of our group was brand new to the game, and the other half was like, no, you have to do this. This is the mechanic. Stack for this. Move here. And we were studying everybody else.
That is painful to do.
Yeah, and so I was actually main tanking, and I was like, no, don't attack before I pull. Why are you doing this? Why have you done it 3 times?
Yeah.
You've played MMOs. This is how it works.
Yeah. That's a tank's nightmare.
But yeah, so, I mean, it was pretty busy. Square Enix's booth has been mobbed pretty much the entire time. Not as bad as Nintendo, I feel like, but... But they've been pretty steady. Yeah, they've been pretty steady as far as their lines and stuff are concerned. But they've been really good about breaking it up and just, like, assigning groups and stuff to people and keeping it well organized. And Nintendo picked that up really well today, actually.
Yeah, they changed up their booth a lot today. Yeah. Because now, if I remember correctly, I walked through there and they changed the benches. The benches are now kind of like, there's a main, like, aisle that you walk through.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually changed it so that the way the Super Mario Odyssey kiosks are set up is, they're still in the same place, but they have a single line that feeds kind of like 4 or 5 separate lines that then release the hounds and people go to each kiosk.
They force more people out to the outside of the booth. Yeah. So they've got people lined up against the wall to get in to play Mario. And so there's a lot more open space inside the booth to actually walk around.
Yeah.
Did they change the arms line at all?
I mean,
you know, because they used to be in the back of the booth, back left and back right.
Oh yeah, no, yeah, there's a whole like zigzag system all the way in the back on the
kind of like Zelda last year. And if you just if you're too late to fit into that line, then you just go home.
Problem with people waiting in line.
Yeah,
Mario Odyssey like a long time and getting shut out yesterday.
Oh
yeah.
Boy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, especially like the line I was in for the handheld Mario stuff. I mean, they're only like one setup for each line, and it was like there was probably 20 people behind me, and I finished at like 3:30 maybe.
Yep.
So given how slowly that demo was going, there's no way some of you want line play.
Right. Yeah, 10 minutes is a long demo, honestly.
Yeah, yeah it is. Alright. Nelly. Well, Splatoon 2.
Splatoon 2. I finally played it today. Yesterday I was watching the World Championship, you know, between the four countries, and does everybody know who won?
No.
It came down to Japan.
We've already talked about
USA.
This, so I know.
So yeah.
Probably Japan.
Nope, we did.
All right.
Yeah. It was 4-0.
Right.
Yeah. They were really? Slaughtering everybody at the beginning,
yeah,
and they had zero, but it came down to all the runoffs and everything, and it was then the final was best of seven. We got three, and then we got one more. It was over.
Yeah.
They got zero.
That's
it was crazy. Yeah. Like she said during the round robin, America won zero.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like one single one. And then
so that's how I spent my half my afternoon yesterday. But today, it's morning. As soon as the doors open, I ran for Splatoon 2. And it was still about an hour wait to get there, but it was totally worth it. I've never used the Switch. My daughter has it, keeps inviting me over to try it.
Mm-hmm.
And this old gal here tried it for the first time, and it's very, very similar to what
mm-hmm.
I'm used to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm used to actually another one also where
the Wii U.
The Wii U with the touch screen. So if I want to jump over to somebody, I just touch their character. So it's like, you know, really, you know, made simple. So then I kept trying to figure out how to jump over to my other players on this particular one, but it's like, okay, I push this. No, when the whole map comes up,
yeah,
so I just kept going and shooting and shooting.
Really?
And it was a whole new layout. They've got
new
layouts.
Yeah.
Yeah, yes, yeah. Yes. So it's really
you were in
nice.
The skate park, I think.
Skate park, right, a new one. So it's kind of nice because the old one, was, you know, it's monotonous, and I'm totally addicted to the old one. Since somebody introduced it to me a year ago.
Yep. She's a pusher. Yeah. So now what?
Shoot, kill. Hey, I can do that.
So what control scheme do they use there? Because I haven't even played it yet. I haven't even been able to get to it yet. So what do they have set up like in the booth now?
We were playing on like a pro controller.
Okay.
They have the new pro controllers,
yeah,
the ones
yeah.
with the colors.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so there's four of us on one side and four on the other, and mm-hmm. we're playing against them.
Okay.
And so you play two rounds.
Two rounds.
How'd you do?
Oh, Kim's.
Does that mean it's a loss?
No. No, I didn't get first place on both games. I got second place on both games.
There you go.
So, yeah, out of all the players. So
yeah, second best of eight.
So. Well, what was your weapon?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm trying to remember what it's called. It's, something that's, I used to use a zap bait tonight, but it's this other one. I'm trying to remember what the heck it's called. Shoot, I've got
it's like a mid-range weapon. I don't
old
super
one.
Play Splatoon,
but
so
basically,
yeah. It's like a mid-range one that's like more rapid
it
fire.
It just rapid fire, shoot,
mm-hmm.
and anyways, which I like, because I don't like the long range. It's like, you have to be too precise and patient.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm bad
just shoot and run, shoot and run.
Yeah.
Not much of a sniper.
No. It's like jump, hide, okay, blast them. So it's really fun blasting all the people.
Yeah.
So now, you were second place, so what did you take from it that you're going to use? What have you learned to get to first place?
Well, I wish, you know, like when they were playing the World Champion games, they were using every single new kind of weapon. I mean, rain, you know, clouds just come down on the other players,
mm-hmm.
you know, on their turf and all over there, wiping everybody out. I wish we could have used some of those, but we just had some of the basic, you know, like type of things, because each of the when you have to pick your equipment and everything else, they just had one slot open. So that would, okay, so you just kind of pick one and that one particular.
Yeah, roll with it.
Exactly. So
yep.
You have to pick whatever, you know, really quickly.
Mm-hmm.
And we have to get right into the game, of
mm-hmm.
course, because a lot of people waiting.
Yeah.
10 minutes goes
for sure.
quick.
Yeah.
But so, you know, it was, you know, as a matter of fact, I kept pushing for the special,
mm-hmm.
and the button I'm used to didn't work.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah.
I don't know what the heck my special was, but it was always there.
There you
I think
go.
You clicked the right joystick.
Yeah.
I did.
Oh. Huh.
Over and over
again. That should have worked.
Yeah.
I pushed all the buttons, but it was doing something else. So I just I said, oh, heck with it. I'm just going to go blast again.
Yeah. I mean, if it was working for you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you did pretty well.
Second place, that's not bad.
Without a special.
So I played some Splatoon 2 as well today. I got to do the Salmon Run in local wireless co-op. Mm-hmm. And that was kind of cool. There were four of us playing, I think. A couple, Corey from NOA was there, Pikmin Corey. And yeah, so Salmon Run is all of the players against the computer, and the computer are these enemies that come up. And it felt a lot different than regular Splatoon competitive mode, you know, because you're all working together, so you're talking locally. I think it would be hard to play online without voice chat, for sure, because you really need to kind of coordinate. You go here, we'll go over here. Hey, there's a boss character that just came up out of the water, you know, on this side. Everybody come over here. And if you don't do that, you're going to have a hard time.
Yeah.
Because it was pretty difficult. There's a difficulty slider that goes from like 5% up to 200%. Mm-hmm. We won at 5%. There were three phases. And when you kill boss enemies, they drop these golden eggs, and you have to grab them and take them back to a net. It's pretty tough, actually. Yeah. Not at 5%, but then they cranked us up to like 40 or 45%.
Mm-hmm.
And definitely you could tell a difference. Harder enemies showed up. I really like the enemy designs. They're like, you know, I mean, they're totally new. Like, they're Splatoon 2, when you're just playing competitively, there are no enemies. It's just everybody's a squid, you know. So the enemies, they have really different attack patterns. Some of them have armor. There was a giant, like, dragon that came out that is shooting streams of ink straight down, and it kind of follows this weird curvy path all over the place, and you cannot go underneath it by any means. And the only place, it's all made of metal, so the only place to attack is on its tail.
Mm-hmm.
There was another that's like a sniper enemy, and it sits on a tower of pots and pans that are like stacked up really tall, and it sits up there and it snipes you. It shoots like a laser of ink all over the map, so you can kind of easily see where it's coming from, because it's like its own tracer, you know. Mm-hmm. But you get over there, the only way to hurt it is to shoot those pots out one by one underneath it until it comes all the way down to your level. And then it's vulnerable, and you can actually attack it.
I have a feeling you're going to say that.
Yeah, some of them have shields, and you can only hurt them from the back. There's like a small opening in the rear that you have to shoot them in.
Mm-hmm.
So it takes advantage of the way Splatoon works, which is, you know, territory control and angles and things like that. I mean, if he's coming from an angle where you don't have much ink laid down, it's going to be hard for you to get over to where you can actually see the back of it, right? So so you still have, I mean, even though you're attacking these enemies, you still have to think about where the ink is on the ground and where the pathways are. And these enemies are dropping their own ink too, so, you know, they'll screw up your plans.
Yeah.
It was really fun, honestly. Yeah. I greatly enjoyed that. It's basically like a horde mode, you know, it's everybody get together and fight the computer.
Yep.
But I think it's a great addition to Splatoon. And, you know, they're doing it their own Nintendo way, for sure.
Yep.
It felt a little different, some really cool tweaks and really fun enemy designs compared to, you know, other horde modes. So,
cool.
Yeah, I liked it.
All right. Nelly, anything more about Splatoon 2?
Well, I'm sure everybody's probably seen the preview for Splatoon 2 and all the different things it can do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It's a little bit intimidating.
Yeah. There's a lot of new weapons, for sure, that they're going to take some time to learn.
Well, that's the wonderful thing. They've kind of like reinvented the wheel. It's just the game you're used to, but now you get to, it's going to be a new challenge.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really welcomed with me.
Yeah.
So you're going to get your own Switch to get?
I think she's pretty much sold to go get a Switch now.
Right.
She's been playing a bunch of other demos
when's
now.
The game coming out again?
And she keeps being like, oh, this is so great we're here. Or I can play this here. And I'm like, yes.
Mission accomplished. All right. Okay,
no standing in line for the... Yeah, so I gotta buy one.
There you go. You can get that number one spot.
There we go.
Yeah, right. It's the thing about E3 is it's actually a horrible place to play video games.
Yeah.
It's a great place to see video games. It's a horrible place to play them.
All right, so let me just wrap us up here. So I played some Miitopia at I got the kind of leftover 3DS, and I had Ever Oasis on it, which I played for about a minute. I walked around the oasis that you get stuck in. It's very much, that'll very much appeal to Guillaume. We talked about that. It's a very, very charming game, though we've outlawed that on the RFM podcast.
I like the cute graphic style of it, but it's an RPG. You just can't, you can't get much out of that demo. I think also they said a demo was going to be available to download from home, and Everoasis comes out this month, I think.
Yep.
Hey, actually, you played on the new 2DS XL, didn't you?
Did I? Yes,
that's
I did.
That's the first time I'd
yes,
seen
I
one
did.
In person.
I did.
Did it make any impression on you?
It looks sweet. It looks really nice.
Did it feel...
It didn't really feel any different.
Okay.
I mean, it's better than the crappy launch 3DS that I have, I can tell you that. So in that way, it was great.
Yeah.
But it looks really nice. I played on the one that's the teal and black color version, so it looks really good.
It looked really good.
Let's see. The other demos they had on there was Miitopia, which is very much, it's very cute. You play with Reggie, Aonuma, Miyamoto, and Koizumi. And you can put all kinds of ludicrous costumes on them. You get currency and you can buy different costumes for them and stuff like that. It's very simple RPG.
It kind of plays itself, right?
Yeah, the weirdest thing in it is that they have this mechanic where when characters heal each other or interact in some way, they gain affection for each other. And the weird thing is, when you go to an inn, they have rooms and they show two characters to each room. And so it's very weird seeing like Reggie and, you know, Aonuma in a room with a big heart over them in this inn. And I was like, kind of like, what? And the girl's like, yeah, I don't really even know what they're doing there. So that was Miitopia. And then I also played Mario and Luigi with the minions. And the minion mode, we actually, Aaron got some footage of that. That's pretty cool. It's really non-interactive, but you build like a little army of, you know, kind of Koopa Troopas and stuff like that, and they fight each other. And it's pretty neat. You can kind of shuffle around. You can unlock different types of minions, like ranged minions and, you know, melee minions and stuff like that. And then you throw them onto the battlefield and they fight each other. So if you don't feel like playing through, you know, Mario and Luigi again, that's kind of like a nice little thing to kind of...
It's a new mode.
Yeah.
Poker Battle 64.
Yeah, a little bit. It might appeal to James.
Okay.
Anyways, all right. Okay, so that was day two. Thanks to everybody. That's going to wrap us up.
We're getting kicked out.
Yeah, we're getting kicked out here. We close the place down, as we tend to do. So thanks, everybody, and we will have more for you tomorrow on day three.
Thanks to our special guest, Nelly.
Yep. Well, thank you very much for joining us.
You did great.
Thank you.
All right. See you later, everybody.